I'm going to help you, Linda.
I'm going to grab the railing this
time. Yeah, right.
Thank you. I changed my glasses too. That helps.
Oh, yeah. Good. Abby Shifley has a bug. And I'm not talking about an ailment. I mean a Volkswagen Beetle. I had bugs too, and so did Emily. So I guess it is contagious. Abby's bug is red. Emily's was silver. I'm sure that you all remember it, even though it too was a Beetle, a Volkswagen bug. She considered it an all-terrain vehicle. Dale Doner and Dale Engel got that thing out of that predicament with a tractor, a front-end loader, and lots of old tires. Speaking of ailments, we could have funded a third-world country with what we spent on that vehicle. Both of my bugs were white. One was a 1966. That passed through the family like an inheritance. Kathy was the last owner on that vehicle. The other was a 1973, and both those bugs were the old style, which was sold in the USA until about 1979. They manufactured in Mexico for many years after that, but they weren't allowed to be sold here. Abby's and Emily's bugs are the new style, which was reactivated by VW in the late 90s. My family and I did all our own mechanical work, always, and we definitely did our own mechanical work on our bugs. They were simple mechanically, and for the harder things, we had just the book. It was called How to Keep Your Volkswagen Alive, a manual of step-by-step procedures for the complete idiot. And you know what I found out? That is a proper spelling of complete. I thought that it was spelled wrong all these years. Here I discovered that in the same way that promise can be spelled two different ways, there's an archaic English spelling, and complete can be spelled like that. So I thought that the guy was an idiot, John Muir, who was the author of that book. That book was awesome. I don't know if any of you here, I know I put it on Facebook the other day, and a bunch of us, including Mike Stanfield, had the book and used it religiously. It explained in minute detail and in simple language, anything that you wanted to do on a bug, anything, and when you should do it. Because there were certain things that you needed to adjust the valves every 3,000 miles. We learned how to do that. My family and I simply called it the idiot book. Did you use the idiot book? It was hilarious. It was fun to read, too. John Muir was not only a great mechanic, he was a comedian as well. And the book was a big help to me, this idiot book. It was a huge help to me in my forays into VW repair. So I guess you know what that makes me. Someone once said to me, "I don't need to read the Bible again. I never read a book more than once, no matter how good it is." I'm pretty certain, as is true for many people who make similar statements, that this person never truly read the Bible through one time, let alone more than once. But that's beside the point. The point is the very problematic idea that is presented in the statement. Because you see, the Bible isn't just a book. It's life in itself. That's why I was kind of intrigued by this motto that I came up with. We're supposed to live the Word. We're supposed to live this. This, the Bible, is an instruction manual for the wisest scholar to the complete idiot, no matter how you spell complete. And it's for anyone in between. I've also heard in a joking tone, the Bible? No. I haven't read it. I'll wait for the movie to come out. I know that the people who are saying that are probably being facetious. But let me tell you, don't wait for the movie. I've seen what movies do to good books. They leave important parts out. And it's even true for the Bible. Every year, especially at Easter, they have Bible-based movies on TV, and they very often let the best parts out. So don't wait for the movie. Another problem is there's a growing movement to undermine the Bible, whether it's people who say that the Old Testament is not valid because we have the New Testament now, or those who cast doubt on it because of how the biblical canon, that all the books of the Bible, how they were brought together, how it was decided which ones would be in and which ones would not be in, how that was all determined, or any of the other theories about the Bible. The Bible's under attack. The problem is this is all we have for the most part. This is all we have. And without what we have in scriptures, we have no basis or connection to the one, capital O, who inspired it. Either we take it as it is or not. One of our ABC core values, in fact, it's the first of our core values, our ABC core values, based on our Brethren in Christ core values, is believing the Bible. We have a core value of believing the Bible. And that core value says, we value the Bible as God's authoritative word and as people of the book. We study it together and build our lives on its truth. That's a core value for ABC. And what we're proclaiming in making that a key aspect of who we are is that as people of the book, I really like that term, people of the book, we own the fact that the Bible is our rule for faith and practice, and it needs to be applied to every part of life, and we need to constantly consult it. Listen to what Paul wrote in his letter to his young protege, Timothy. He was writing, it's getting close to the end of Paul's life, and he's getting Timothy ready to move on in ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. He says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the Word of God. That's my point today, actually. This is the Word of God. If there's nothing else in your toolbox for life, the Word of God must be there. And let me give you some reasons. And the first one is, life is difficult. And the Christian life is even more difficult. Paul says, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Persecution can range from good-natured digs about us being goody-goody two-shoes to not being hired, maybe as a college professor, or even martyrdom. The truth is, we hardly know what persecution is compared to what our brothers and sisters suffer in Nigeria and in Nepal and China and Iran and Vietnam and many, many, many other places. The bombings in Sri Lanka last week are the tip of the iceberg when you consider the horror stories coming out of Nigeria of hundreds of people being murdered for their faith. So the truth be told, we have it good in comparison. But without being a negative Nelly, I'm going to predict that it won't get any easier for Christians. Paul lived in a debauched society. And that's why he predicts to Timothy, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and deceived, he's saying we live in an increasingly debauched society ourselves. Day in and day out, immorality and evil are a proud way of life. What used to shock us is now a fad. What used to turn everybody is now winked at in a lot of cases. Some might ask, so what's so good about the Bible that I can't get in an internet search? Actually, the internet is a great place to research if you're researching the Bible. Bible Gateway, YouVersion, and any number of Bible sites are an awesome resource. But if you're trying to find any of life's answers on the net or anywhere other than the Bible or a source such as a biblical person or a site or a book, if you're trying to look anywhere else than the Bible or some wise Christ-following person, you're barking up the wrong tree. You will get the wrong answers. I had a Facebook conversation. Well, no. He wanted it to be a conversation on Good Friday about the atonement. We had the startings of a discussion about what kind of atonement God required. And he was saying God didn't need to kill his son, which was really harsh language. Jesus voluntarily went to the cross, but this man was saying that blood didn't need to be shed. Like he was determining what God should think. And he really wanted an argument with me, I was trying to write another sermon, and I said, I don't have time for this. But Jesus willingly went to the cross, and he satisfied the requirements that, and the old, at that time, the Old Testament were the Scriptures, that the that that God required. So, and some of his sources, one of his sources for this was USA Today. Now that's a really deep source for biblical things. And he knew better too. The cool thing on Sunday was when I posted about, I posted Keith Green's Easter song written by the folks from second chapter of Acts. It's just always been my favorite Easter song. It's a powerful song. And I posted that, and he says, at least we can both agree that he's risen. And I said, amen, amen. So we're still friends, as we've been for 35 years. Paul tells us in verse 16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. Why do a web search when you can go right to the source? That's what I liked about the song. A quick aside here. Can anyone tell me what Paul's scriptures were? He said all scriptures God breathed. What scriptures was he talking about? He was talking about the old, what we call the Old Testament. So he's saying that the Old Testament is scripture. When he talks about scripture, he's referring to the Old Testament. The New Testament was just being set down. As he was writing to Timothy, he was starting the New Testament. So don't let anyone tell you that the Old Testament is to be disregarded. It's to be interpreted in the light of the New Testament, but it's Scripture. It's still God's Word. So what does God-breathed mean? It means totally inspired by God. As God's servants down through history listened to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit directed what they were to write. And the amazing thing is how perfect it has come down to us. You know the old way, it was a fun thing that we did in youth group. The old way to show how rumors get started and how they get distorted. If you would take a row with Ron and Bonnie on this end, and then 10 people across, and Linda on the other end, and we would tell Ron a sentence that he's to pass on to Bonnie, and then Bonnie to the next person, and you know what happens. By the time it gets to the end, it's distorted. It's different. Back in the old days, before you could get every new joke or picture via text or social media or even email, people would, they'd get a funny, a picture or a joke written down, and they would copy it on their copier. Or maybe they'd go down to Hawkins and use their copier, pay a quarter, and get a copy made. And it was also the way people had forms, an application for something, and they would lose the original, and they would keep passing, they would keep copying a copy of a copy. And when you made copies of copies and copies of copies and then copies of copies, is the result is that you get a distorted and dirty representation of the original. Okay, the top of this is the original. Okay, I typed that out and I ran it right into the printer in the office, in Heather's office. Then the bottom is 16 copies away from that. And you can see how the distortion is already starting. The further it gets away from the original, the more distorted it is. And it's, so it's 16 times. What I'm trying to say is that kind of distortion didn't happen with Scripture. the Holy Spirit has protected it. Down through the years, scribes have, before there was a printing press in the 1400s, people hand wrote the scripture. And yes, there were mistakes. If you go to the Bible Museum at the seminary, you find a place where it's called the Adulterer's Bible because the printer left out a key thing and it made it look like you're allowed to have adultery, okay? Yes, but the key things weren't changed in there. When the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947 near the Dead Sea, they pulled out copies of the Old Testament, and they were word for word exactly what they still had in the Bible in 1947, 2,000 years later. The distortion didn't happen because it was protected by the Holy Spirit. We can't even get a sentence right in 10 chairs. We make 16 copies with a copier and it gets distorted. But not so with Scripture because it's protected by the... It's just what God does with the Scripture. It comes down to this. God has ensured that our Scriptures have remained amazingly pure through the centuries with little incongruities that are fun to find out at the Bible Museum. And that's despite the fact that finite human beings have been the ones passing it on, running the printing presses, recopying word for word scriptures. That's the protective work of the Holy Spirit. And that's because God wanted to make sure that the answers for life are right here in the Word. Paul reminds Timothy, he says, "From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Scripture is a lifetime thing. Timothy's mother and grandmother steeped him in the Word early and then often. Paul's words from infancy show that it's never too early to start. When we have a baby dedication here at ABC, we give the child a New Testament with the admonition to the parents to get the little one into the Bible. And while that little testament is far above the baby's comprehension, there are many other resources. Last month, at Fiona's birthday, she received many books, and many of them were Bible-related books that are understandable for her. And online, there are great resources. I have a kids' Bible app from YouVersion on my iPad that's great for kids. So early and often, church, with your kids and with your grandkids, and yourself too, but that's assumed. But I don't want to just assume that. As we grow to maturity, Scripture becomes ingrained. But even if you have not previously made the Bible a habit, there's no time like the present. The more you study it, the more firmly convinced you become. Paul tells Timothy to keep building on what he's been taught. Timothy was to continue in what you've learned and have been convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. The more you learn, the more you become convinced. The example that you provide to your children is priceless. Look how it served Timothy. Timothy had a heritage of living by the Scripture, and we find it earlier in this same letter. In the first chapter, Paul writes, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you too." Timothy's mother and grandmother were the ones who taught him. The father's not mentioned, but that didn't deter his mother and grandmother from teaching him about the scripture. If you consistently live by the word, it's likely that your kids will as well. And as they move through a life that will not be easy, we already talked about that, they will have the essential equipment for the life that they surely will need. So no matter what the question is, the answer is here in the word. And while the answers for how to deal with a problematic car are not here in this Bible, the specifics are so that you can deal with the frustration that you experience with when you deal with a car. There are certain things that the Bible will tell you not to say when you hammer the wrong nail, when you're up on a roof, or when your hand slips off a wrench in your car. The Bible helps you deal with life, is what I'm trying to say. Paul tells us that the Bible is the proper equipment for the servant of God, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. J.B. Phillips paraphrases that same verse by saying, "The scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work." So let me just ask, are you fully fit for life? Are you prepared for whatever might come along? And the reason I preached this message today is because right back as the holy season was coming along and I was in a different series, I had some Jehovah's Witnesses come to my door. And they know what's in their Bible. They have proof texts all through their Bible of what they want you to learn from them. And if you don't know what is actually in a legitimate Bible, because the Jehovah's Witness Bible is not legitimate, they've changed it, okay? They've changed key things in the Bible to make it say what they want it to say. If you don't know what's actually here, if you don't know what's actually here and a Mormon comes to the door, or if somebody gets on Facebook and talks about what USA Today says is what the Bible actually says, if you don't know what's actually here, you don't even know that it's wrong. That's why it's important that you know what's here for living life and for knowing what's right. There was an associate pastor who asked his senior pastor how he was able to preach with great conviction week after week after year and always have powerful messages. And that senior pastor replied that he read the New Testament, the entire New Testament, every week, and had done so for 23 years. That's how you know what's here. And you can do that. I'm not saying you should, because I don't want you to get frustrated and not do it at all. Okay? I had a friend, and I've often talked about her. She died at 94 years old in 1998. Okay? Her name was Rosie. She would read through her King James Bible every year. Several times a year. I used to, as part of my devotions, read through a different translation every year, just because. I do it differently now because that started getting old and repetitive. But I did that for quite a number of years, and it's exciting. In the YouVersion and in Bible Gateway, there are so many translations there you could read for the next 25, 30 years out of a different translation. The resources are amazing. So let's get to know this book, ABC. I know I say it, but let's get to know this book. Read it now. Read it over and over again, and don't wait for the movie. Okay? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.